final stages of recall. So I just want to quickly say that if you're really struggling with recall, if you haven't listened to my other podcasts, go and listen to them first, because this it really is the final stage for a reason. So I've got one, I've got a normal recall one, and then I've got the recall number one problem, how to fix it. So make sure you've done both of those, because one of them will cover recall with dogs when people say, oh, it's got a good recall, but not with dogs. So it'll go through all of that with you. This really is the last point, and it's because I saw a family with their Labrador Daisy, and, you know, same old story. Tilly, what's going on? You know, recall's hit and miss. She just wants to play with other dogs, you know. So I went there and I was expecting bedlam, if I'm honest. But it wasn't like that. Daisy, the dog, very good at listening, and their recall training was very, very good. In fact, I just want to press upon that this is how good they were. They're the only people I have met so far, you know, doing clients, not in normal life, but clients. They're the only people I've met, including myself, that can let their dog amble onto the front drive, even though there's a road there, and the dog does not run off, doesn't do anything. They just opened the door, dog didn't have a lead on, and I was like, whoa. You know, kind of like, what's going on? Are people mad? What's going on? And the dog, you know, the dog just stood there, just chill, like no difference at all, which is exactly how my dogs have always been. And then we went out, the dog just kind of ambled out, stood by the car. And I did tell them, I said, I'm really impressed, because nobody does this. You know, it's really impressive. And one of the owners just turned to me and said, oh, yeah, well, we did the whole boundary thing, you know, in and out. And I was like, that's amazing, because nobody does that. Nobody does the boundary thing. It's so important. So this is what I mean. They're really hot on their training. Their dog can even walk out on the drive and just, you know, completely nonchalant, you know, about it. So that's really cool. That told me this is really good. Dog, good eye contact, always good at listening, which really helps. So we went to a local park and started work. And this is how I quickly realised that they were at the last stage of recall. So it does layer up. Recall does layer up. You can't really pick and choose unless you have a particular problem, like my dog always runs off to see greyhounds, or my dog always runs off when he gets a rabbit scent. Then you do have to work on it. But it's a similar thing. If your dog runs off all the time, you're not at the final stage. You've kind of got to backtrack. So it does layer up. You've got to get your dog listening, not pulling, calm. You know, remember you're a team. You're a team. So what direction you're going in, the dog should kind of catch up with you and things like that. So I could see all of that. And we got her on a long line and had a look. And I said, I just want to see what you guys do, because I had a feeling that they were going to be good. So often I just take the dog, because I can kind of see chaos occurring. So often I'll take the dog anyway and just have a look. But I wanted to see what they did. And the dog, just looking at them all the time, would amble off, you know, on the line. They'd like, oh, Daisy, come in. She'd come straight back. Then other dogs came and stuff like that. And we were watching that. And, you know, she trotted up to them. They called her and she came straight back. Don't need to use the line at all. Not a kind of a tug on the line or anything. And it was really interesting to see, because she could do that, but she could only do it, as I found out later, if she was trotting. If she was trotting towards the dog, if her excitement level had got too far up, then she wouldn't come back. Now, in my previous recall, I talk about stopping a dog from even going up to a dog. So as soon as they look. So if you're dealing with reactivity, which is most people's main problem with recall, is that the dogs are too excited when they see other dogs, I say, don't even let them take a few steps, just call them straight back. And they had done that. They had done that, and the dog was so well behaved with it. But what it couldn't do, because they'd never trained for it, was let the dog run full pelt towards another dog and work at that end, which is hard. It's hard because you're most likely going to get pulled in the mud as well. But that's where they were at. That's why they couldn't let the dog off. Because if the dog was trotting, they could call her. But if the dog was galloping, no, they'd never worked on that. They'd kind of, you know, cut her off at the legs, if you like, which is what I say, because it stops a lot of reactivity getting too big. But because they'd done so well, they hadn't ever let her gallop a bit more. You know, they kept stopping it and stopping it. And for a dog, because they don't generalise, it's a whole different program. She's not thinking, oh, Daisy means come back. She's thinking, when I trot, Daisy means come back. And she's thinking, when I gallop towards a dog, it doesn't matter what they say, I'm just going to gallop towards the dog and there we go. So they've just got to practice in those areas. I gave them two things to do, actually, for Daisy. I'm going to go over a few more scenarios as well. But for them, again, don't think of it as a generalisation. It is separate things. So Daisy running full pelt towards a dog thinks that she can just do that and your voice means absolutely nothing. So I said, you've got to do that. You've got to, don't jump the gun. Let her go full pelt. I did say wear gloves as well because the line will just shred your hand. So wear gloves, harness on the dog, by the way, as well, so that impact is a lot less. And then before she hits the line, because the line is going to help with your voice, if you like, before she hits the line, call her, she'll hit the line and then you reel her in. So you call her back. You don't go, Daisy. It's like, Daisy, boom. The boom is she's hit the line. And then it's like, Daisy, come on, wait, 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 all the way back. And then you give her some chicken or something. So if when I'm testing them out and I think they're going to come back, I have the line kind of slack. And I might call the name or say, what's this? Or, you know, here. But if the dog ignores me, the line is your backup and it has to be within half a second. So it's like, here, tug. Or if it's like, here, come on, come on, come on. If I can see them turning, if I can see them slow down, I'll just try and use voice rather than the line. But it's really important if you're like, here, 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 you've lost. That's gone. That's way too late. You should be using the line to reel the dog in like a fish and then heavily reward. Always, always reward. It doesn't matter that the dog took a little while to come back. We're learning here and it's got to be worth their while. So that's really important to visualise. So her task was task one, run full pelt at a dog. You need to learn that even if you're running full pelt, I can still call you back. And the other one, which she struggled with, a lot of dogs struggle with this one, is meet and greet, coming away from a meet and greet. I was quite lucky with my greyhound when I got her that she did want to meet and greet, but then she would immediately get bored within a second and walk away. Dogs that do that are kind of easy. I mean, ideally you don't want your dog going up to every dog, you know, but if they kind of do a very quick meet and greet from a few feet away and then run back to you, it's not as bad as what was happening here, which is Daisy's joined a new family now. So it wouldn't matter that the other people are walking away or anything, or the dog's been put on a lead, or, you know, they're leaving the park. Daisy's now joined them and is very happy. She's very lovable. She's very friendly. She's not overexcited. I believe she's working lab. They're a bit more sensitive than the show. Shows are kind of mad and boisterous, but she was very much like, okay, yeah, we'll all go together. That's a bit of a problem. And yeah, so I said, you've got to work on the running at full pelt and also meet and greet. So that means you can do it on the line or on a lead with meet and greet because you don't need a run up. It's different. So then we kind of went to the cafe and there was a dog there and she was kind of sniffing. And then I called her and again, used the lead to pull her back. So it's cool, pull. I knew she would ignore me. So I had the lead already, not tense, but there's a tiny bit of slack. If there's too much slack, it'll be a delay in the reaction. So it's just a tiny bit of slack so she can perform normal behaviours and not get tense. And it's Daisy tug. Daisy tug. If she was listening, which you can watch by the body language, if she's listening Daisy, like there's an ear flick or a pause or a half turn, I would just keep calling. I wouldn't use the tug. But it is your backup. The dog's got to learn that there's no choice. There is no choice. Otherwise, your command word just becomes optional in their head. It's like, oh, sometimes it means come back and sometimes it means keep playing, actually. Whatever the dog repeats is what they learn. So if she's repeating running away to her name, that's what she's learning. You've got to think kind of operant conditioning and classical conditioning for all dog training. So if I want to teach my dog sit, for example, then you know, she gets in the position and then I say sit. I say sit as she's in it or just as she's about to go in it. And I say that over and over again until she's learned, oh, when my bum's on the floor, that word happens to be there. That's what that means. And it's the same thing when your dog's running towards you. That's when you should be saying your key word. You can say it multiple times as well if they're running towards you, but don't say it if they're running away from you. That's what, if you go on the other podcast, that's what that recall program's about. It's about kind of making your key word really, really valuable and teaching it that it only means come towards you. So you basically only use it when you're going to win. And it's all about layering it up and setting the dog up to win, not to fail. And it takes a long time. But anyway, so that's what we were doing for her. And I said, you are so close, you are nearly there. If she's trotting towards the dog, you can call her off. It's just your meet and greet and the other one. And the only reason why it's so hard is because you've kind of stopped it. And the other thing that they said, which again, people point out all the time and they really struggle with and they don't know what to do, is she said, oh, a dog came running up and there's me, I've got her on a short lead and I'm, you know, Daisy, Daisy, and I'm trying to get her attention. The dog's bouncing around trying to play with her, you know, and Daisy's not listening. And honestly, at that point, like I've said on the previous ones, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't. Don't train. Don't train if you're going to lose. If your dog's really hyper excited and there's a dog off lead coming over to you with no recall as well, and they're both hyper excited, why would you try training at that moment? You're not going to win. And that means you're going to lose, which means that your words and your voice suddenly becomes optional. And also, I don't care, you know, and you don't want that. I just go silent. To be honest, as long as the dog's friendly and not reactive, if an off-lead dog comes up, it for me, it just means break time at that particular point in time. It's break time. Here, have the lead. I'll give you some lead. Have a little zoom around. When the dog's gone, we'll start again. Because you can't control anything. And seriously, only like service dogs can ignore a dog that's running up and down and wanting to play when they want to play. It's a really high level of training and it's not worth it because you're going to get frustrated. And more importantly, the dog's training and all those keywords that were so important just can go out the window. So don't waste your breath, basically. But the reason why they found it, like in this situation, why is Daisy so good with this and not with this, is only because they hadn't practiced the other end of the scale. Now, it's important, like I said before, that you don't start with the other end of the scale. If your dog, you know, let them off in an empty park and immediately goes and it's not listening, don't try training your dog to come back when it's playing with dogs. That is the really thick end of the wedge. That is your kind of goal, cherry on the cake. And a lot of dogs still struggle with that anyway, even when they are trained. Because it's hard. It's hard to end a game. Why would you end a game, you know, even for a bit of chicken? Is it worth it? You have to ask yourself. So don't start there. Always start right at the beginning of things, as you should. But this is for those that are, you know, near the end. And I feel like you would know that you're near the end because your dog listens basically all the time. Like Daisy, she's on the drive. She's like not wandering off. She's looking all the time. And when you let her on the long line and there aren't dogs, she's looking back all the time as well. She's constantly connected. You know, you don't need to call very loudly. It's like, oh, come on then, you know, that's it, literally that's it. She's sensitive, like Flick's like that as well. Sometimes with Flick, I want her to stop or slow down a bit, and she's probably about 3 or 4 meters away from me, and I just go, and that's enough. She turns and then she'll either look at me and wait, or if I kind of gesture, she'll come back, because that's how sensitive she is. So I can use all kind of mild noises with her. I don't need to do anything. But that's what you want. And it's like, right, we're here. The dog's really good, but why isn't it? Why do we go to this particular field and it's running off? Or that means you've got to work on that end now. You've kind of completed everything, but you have to make sure you practice. So dogs that kind of run after wildlife and run at squirrels, it's hard to practice on. It's easier with Daisy because her problem really is dogs, and dogs are everywhere and they hang around. Wildlife doesn't, but what you would have to do is, instead of avoiding these places like, oh god, I can't take him up the marshes because I just lose him, you need to spend more time there on a line. But like I said before, Daisy is like, she listens when she's trotting, not when she's galloping. Some dogs have entire places where they don't listen at all, so it's not a case of, there's no point letting it gallop then and trying to call it. You've got to see if you can call it from a metre away, 2 metres away, and build it up like that. But you've got to work out where your problem is with the recall, and then just make sure you train. Just train really, really heavily in that particular spot. It's just really intense. So other things are kind of sniffing. Some dogs just like scent. I don't mean like, oh, it's sniffing out poo. I mean like literally they're just like scenting stuff. Digging holes, going after poo. That's a bit of a problem one. Hard to practice as well, if I'm honest. But these are all the different things, you know. Birds I don't tend to mind, because once they fly away, the dog comes back. But you've got to think, what is it that's stopping my recall, really? And really try and look at it under a microscope and realise what it is. Like I said, people think recall is just, I call and the dog comes back in every scenario, for the dog thinking, when they say that word, it means come back from the garden, come in the house, come on the street, come in the park, come on the beach. So you've got to go through every single one. And then also like add the excitement. Oh, it means come even when I'm playing. Oh, it means come even if I found some horse poo. Oh, okay. They don't think like that. They have to practice every single one, especially with things that have their own reward system. So anything they eat, whether it's poo or garbage, that's a reward. The dog's getting rewarded away from you. If it's excited to meet and greet people or dogs, that's a reward too. If it loves killing rabbits and it's always out killing rabbits, if you like, that's a reward as well. Whereas ideally, all the rewards come from you. And this is why I don't really, until the dog's at a very high level, I don't kind of miss a reward for coming back, especially the harder the dog's finding it, or the more rubbish they are at something, basically, the higher I reward them, because you've really got to motivate them. There's no point saying you did a rubbish job there, I had to pull you all the way in, or you only walked to me, you know, slow to me, I'm going to give you a crumb. we want the rewards really, really high, get that really, really exciting, and then when you find it easier, then I'll start feeding down the rewards and you know, giving less and things like that. If you do want, just on another note, if you do want your dog to come back faster rather than slow, the first thing is that really I would make it like a game. So get your long line out and just do different directions and make it very, very exciting. Most dogs love a game of chase, which essentially you can make into recall. And the other way of doing it, which I don't really like doing, but is another way, is that you highly reward ones where they're moving faster, and don't reward or give a small reward for when they're moving slower. But you have to do it in increments. Don't be black and white about it. You know, don't be like, oh, I'm only doing it if you zoom over. Just think of it like this. If my dog normally walks over and the next time he trots over, he can get a heavy reward. Think of it like that, tiny little steps. To be honest, most people don't worry about that anyway. They just want the dog to come back, right? That's really out there. But I thought I'd mention it anyway. So, yeah, the key is, if you are at that level and it's something that you can't really put your finger on, first of all, behaviourists will help you. With Daisy, I saw straight away, it's like, ah, right, this is the problem. We're just working, we've made it too easy for ourselves, essentially. Like, you know, you're calling her when she's trotting. And she did say, oh, I thought that's what you meant to do. And she's right. But you've got to progress. You can't stay at one level. You can't stay at one easy level. You've always got to be pushing forward more and more and more, and that's what you've got to work out with your dog as well. Same with wildlife, right? So it's like, don't take this with, oh god, my dog chases squirrels, let's work with squirrels on a long line. If your dog is on a short lead, loose but short lead, and it sees a squirrel, if you click your fingers, call its name, say what's this, and it's ignoring you, you're not ready for a long line. Like, the dog is ignoring you when you're a foot away. Why is it going to listen to you and it's in full flight towards a squirrel, you know, 100 yards away? It's not. So it's working at that level. Like I said, with Daisy, she could be quite a way away and she kept coming back, you know, with no use of the line, just trotting around. She kept her energy quite low. It was just the end of it. When her energy got too much, she didn't realise she had to listen. Essentially, that's what's going on. And you can get to that level. I think some dogs, it is a lot harder. Things like huskies or dogs that are more kind of stubborn, more like working with a blunt instrument, if you like, because they're one directional. So stubborn means they just find it hard to change their mind. So if you get a dog heading towards a squirrel and you call it, even very highly trained dogs are going to find it hard to change their minds because they have to change direction. Whereas sensitive dogs are a lot easier to work with. And meeting Daisy, I realised that she could do this. And Flick's the same. Flick can be going towards a squirrel and I can call her and she'll come back. So it can work. Whether or not it could work for like a hunting hound or a husky or something that's designed not to change its mind, honestly, I'm not sure. But definitely working dogs. So any working dog, even if it's a show line, any working dog is bred to work with you, right? Even pointers. Pointers are supposed to be a bit more independent, but they're still working with you. It's hounds that are working independently. They're always difficult. They are working dogs, but they work on their own. So they kind of go off and do their own thing. And this is why they always struggle with recall, because they're bred to be independent. You don't want a hound getting distracted by somebody shouting. You just want them to keep doing their job. You don't want them sensitive or a bit worried, or, you know, you just want them finding that rabbit or their deer. That's their mission. Whereas the working dog is always looking for instructions. So Spaniels, Labradors, like I said, Pointers, Collies, you know, Shepherds, they're looking for instructions most of the time. And you have to play on that as, like, you know, what's my next instruction? Oh, it's okay, I said come back, you know, things like that. Whereas other dogs that are not working for jobs, working with you, are always going to be trickier. Guardian breeds and things like that tend to be trickier again. But they're usually slower, and that is in your favour, to be honest, too. But, yeah, so that's my advice for the last piece of the puzzle. And it's personal for every single dog. And you've got to find what is your personal thing, and then how bad is it, really? Like I said, is it so bad that if you see a squirrel, the dog just ignores you right from the word go? Or is it so bad, you know, is it not that bad? Is it like, oh, if the dog's, you know, still within range of me, like 10 metres within range, he'll come back. If he's any further than that, he won't. That's where you have to work then. Don't stick to the easy stuff. And also you've got to realise, you know, with dog training, it's like, do I really need this? I don't mind that my dogs chase, you know, squirrels and things. But that is because I know the squirrels go up a tree and the dogs come back, because that's what they do. A dog that runs after other dogs is always going to be a problem, because there's always dogs. There's always other dogs. And if it meets a nasty dog, that's not ideal either. So that will always be a problem. I personally don't think that squirrels are a problem, unless you've got one of these dogs that just goes into hunting mode, and then it's like, right, I've seen two squirrels, now mentally I've left you. So you've got to think, you know, you can train for the sake of training, but usually there's so many little problems and other things to sort out. I wouldn't kill yourself over it if you don't need to do it. I would just do what fits in with your life and prioritise. I mean, I got Sky, the greyhound, before I became a trainer. So I didn't prioritise recall, mainly because, I should have done, but I didn't, because I realised early on that she'd follow me anywhere, and she was extremely good at reading dogs. So even if she ran a full pelt to an aggressive dog, which obviously is not great, don't do that, she would stand a foot away and then she'd realise and go away again. So I was never worried about her. And the same with squirrels, she would run, and then she'd look to where I am and come back. So I was never too fussed about that. You know, it was other things with her that I had to work on very hard with. Flicker, on the other hand, I realised straight from the word go, she's very, very frightened. And I was worried that if something spooked her outdoors, she'd run all the way home, which actually she has done a few times in her lifetime anyway. But my priority was always recall with her. And then very quickly I realised that she was, you know, extremely dog aggressive or nervous aggressive. So I reprioritise recall. If I see a dog, I want you here now, and it has to be now. And she's got excellent recall because I did the work. So you've got to put the work in where you want. What makes your life easier? Also, both dogs have been really good in the car, you know, because we do a lot of travelling around and stuff. So that for me is a priority. Door, front door, not going out, walking along the drive, whether I'm out there or not, I can direct them. This guy's gone now, but I could just open the door and say, go for a wee and come back. That's a priority for me, because I don't want to lose a dog on the road. So you've got to work out where your priorities are. Do you have a lot of wildlife around you? Do you have a lot of, you know, livestock around you? That would be a priority if I lived remotely and there's fields and sheep. Because even if there's fences, you can't rely on that. You can't rely on just management. Not all the time. Management is good, but there's going to be a time where it fails. So something like that, I'd be working on that without, you know, distressing the farmer's sheep. But I'd be working on, you know, we always ignore the sheep. We never ever chase the sheep. We don't look at the sheep. You know, it's very, be very strict about that kind of thing. Whereas squirrels, I'd probably go, you know, if it wasn't a big problem, I'd go hit and miss. Sometimes you can chase them. Sometimes they're going to stop you, and we're going to work on squirrels with recall. So you've got to work out your priorities and then hyper-focus on what you need to do, basically break it down. Right, good luck, guys. Keep going. If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram, so just search Fawn Dog for those. And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.